Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Quiet meditation space to allow people a chance to reflect, to pray, to meditate, to do whatever they do to regain some balance and their connection to the sacred, however they understand it.
We cleanse, release the bad feelings or any negative feelings that might be in the air that you're holding on to. We cleanse to bring you into a good way, into the circle.
We have everything from your more traditional religious services from a few different, you know, major world religions, to stuff like Reiki and yoga and or Zen meditation.
It's some fights for social justice, and this movement is about social justice.
Some voices from the Occupy Wall Street movement, some protesters over the weekend. I had no idea, really. I had no idea that there was a religious element to Occupy Wall Street. We've heard so often that there is a religious element to the Tea Party that seems to be kind of the political counterpart in the way things are unfolding in a presidential year, in a year when the economy is bad in the United States. We're going to be talking about media coverage of spirituality and Occupy Wall Street protesters, and a little bit about Sharia law in Libya. Even before the death of Muammar Gaddafi, there were calls for Sharia to be the standard for a new government there, and it seems to be headed in that direction. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Molly, Pastor David Peterson will join us, part three of a five-part series we're doing with him on better preaching. Today, a disciplined spiritual life and visiting members. He says visiting between pastor and parishioner is vital. It's not optional, he says, especially in an era when many big box churches don't get you a pastoral visit for any reason, not even in the hospital. Maybe, if you're lucky, a handshake as you walk out of church on Sunday morning, something to bring back to the life of the church. In the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday, we continue Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We'll talk about confessional Lutheranism and Calvinism. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for Dr. Sherb in the second hour when we continue Issues Etc. Reformation Week on the subject of Lutheranism and Calvinism at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or just search Issues Etc. from Facebook. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to getreligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
Nice to be here.
How would you evaluate or compare the kind of religious angle coverage of the Tea Party with religious angle coverage of Occupy Wall Street?
It seems the media have trouble with both, covering both of these types of protests. In the case of the Tea Party, we saw a lot of, you know, hostility or sort of an adverse position when covering any religion angle or, you know, just some, a lot of negativity. It might actually be better than how they covered the Occupy Wall Street people at first, which was just completely ignoring the religion angle. And this is a problem that the religious left has a lot. They just get ignored. And I don't know exactly why that might be. I think that the media tend to think of religion and politics as being a negative, and so I'm not sure if they want to highlight the role that religion of movement. And, of course, they weren't covering the movement much at all at the beginning. I mean, there was a massive day of rage down on Wall Street back in September, very little coverage. Now coverage is improving a little bit, and they're starting to explore some of the other angles. And since religion has been playing a role, I mean, there are a lot of religious people down there. The movement has coincided with Jewish holy days, and so there have been religious services. There's also been a lot of, you know, interfaith stuff, syncretized stuff, and just general religious involvement from a variety of people, and that's much harder to ignore. So they're starting to get a little bit better about covering these religion angles.
Well, I guess, why do you think it took them a little while to catch on to the fact that there's, at the very least, a religious presence that is kind of showing up along with Occupy Wall Street, perhaps even religious overtones to the entire movement itself?
I really don't know. I think that it's possible that if this were a movement against an opposing, if this were happening at a time where different political parties were in power or different people were in power, we might have seen more exploration early on, whereas I think that to some extent reporters were somewhat confused as how to approach it. It's also true, I want to say, that the movement organizers, or they wouldn't even call themselves organizers, they'd say this is a relatively disorganized thing, that there's no leadership. Well, that also means that there aren't any easy narratives to hand out to reporters who want to cover it. There aren't any press releases to send out. There aren't any great stories to help reporters tell because no one's organizing it at the top. And the people themselves who were doing it early on, they just didn't think about how you need to help a reporter tell a story. And if you're just a sort of a jumbled mess of people and you're not getting your story out very well and you're not able to articulate your message, and this is obviously a problem they're still having, they don't have a cohesive message because they're working on making decisions through consensus and they've had a lot of trouble with that thus far, well, then it's going to be really hard for reporters to cover it. And you can't really blame reporters, in my opinion.
You use the term religious left. What do you mean by that, and how does that best describe the religious complexion surrounding Occupy Wall Street?
Well, there's a diverse group of people, a diverse group of religious people that are taking part in this, but they're all people who tend to identify with more progressive politics. You're not going to see churches that are either apolitical or more involved in political causes of a more conservative nature involved here. So it is a diverse group of people, but all with sort of shared politics, either within their church bodies or outside of their church bodies. And it is true that there are a lot of people who see politics as, a lot of religious people who see politics as an important function of their religious faith. And you see those people on the left and you see those people on the right. They are very earth focused. They're focused on changing, you know, American government or other governments. And they use their religion as a way of motivating fellow travelers or, you know, fellow adherents to a cause. And you're seeing this on the left. This is generally a progressive movement. You also see it on the right. The media are really good at identifying it on the right. They're very comfortable reporting on it. They know what to look for and they know, you know, how to tell that story. They're just not so strong at telling it on the other side of things.
One real quick question on that before we move on to Libya and Sharia law. You have written, one of your least favorite things that reporters do is to take the fringiest of fringe characters at a given protest and make them seem representative of the whole. Is there an example of that in media coverage of Occupy Wall Street that you can think of?
Well, I think what's interesting when thinking about this issue of taking a fringe element and making it a big story is to compare this coverage of Occupy Wall Street with the coverage of the Tea Party movement. Now, I was able to cover quite a few Tea Party protests in the Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, I was at the protest where allegedly someone said something racist. There is no substantiation for this at all outside of one congressman saying that they were in a crowd of people that someone used an epithet against him. And yet that got played up in all the major media and it became kind of the dominant narrative for how you look at the Tea Party. Well, we all know that they're racist people, even though there was no substantiation. And even I think like $1 million prize would be given to anyone who was able to substantiate this charge. And yet, you know, story after story said that this movement was really nothing, motivated by nothing more than racism. And then when you have Occupy Wall Street, you have these fringe elements that actually, you know, that do exist. There's photographic evidence. There's evidence on YouTube, not in any way a mainstream part of the movement, but there are people out there who are very anti-Semitic, and they have very anti-Semitic signs. They might articulate an anti-Semitic message. And the coverage of that has either been non-existent or dismissive. Like the New York Times did highlight that there is an issue of anti-Semitism, but went out of its way to say it's not a big deal. And what's interesting to me most about this is just the inconsistency between the treatment that a conservative or libertarian populist movement got versus this movement. And I would say that it's not a good idea to highlight fringe elements in either case, but it's just interesting to see the difference in how this has been handled.
What is the specific religion angle with regard to the uprising in Libya and now the death of longtime dictator Muammar Gaddafi? About a minute before we take a break.
Well, what's really interesting about it is that, and this is another story that you see a lot of coverage in the global press, but not a lot of coverage in American media. A couple weeks ago, the current head of Al-Qaeda released a video message where the main point of the message was that Libya needed to institute Sharia and not cater to Western requests that they not institute or establish Sharia or Islamic law once Gaddafi was truly, out of power. And we didn't see much coverage of that to begin with. Well, then this weekend, the sort of interim head of the Libyan government announced, in fact, that Sharia would be the governing policy. You know, polygamy would now be allowed. There would be no banking, you know, where you can charge interest. And, you know, it's a pretty big story and something that we just don't see a lot of coverage in the American media.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. She'll be with us for just a few minutes on the other side of the break. Then we'll pick up our conversation with Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, starting part three of a five-part series with him on better preaching and a disciplined spiritual life. Today we'll talk about the pastor's connection, his physical connection, being present with his members as part of better preaching. That's coming up in just about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Hour two of the program, it's Issues Etc. Reformation Weekend on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk about confessional Lutheranism and Calvinism. Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or post a question or a comment for the next installment of Issues Etc. Reformation Week in Hour 2 on Calvinism at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each month, we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We meet from 9:30 to 2:30. Both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. This month, we meet on Thursday, October 20. In the morning, I'll continue my presentations on C.F.W. Walther's True Visible Church on Earth. In the afternoon, Pastor John Solberger, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, will present on the hymnody of Paul Gerhardt.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Occupy Wall Street. We have turned to the subject of Sharia law in Libya. So already, before the death of Muammar Gaddafi, we had the new leader of al-Qaeda calling for Sharia, encouraging the Libyan people to adopt Sharia. You take note of a CNN piece from October 21st that you say is pretty breezy and optimistic. What do you mean?
Well, it was published before the interim head of the Libyan government announced the changes that would be taking place in the law. But the piece was headlined, "Why Libya Has a Real Shot at Democracy and Stability." And it said, oh, sure, you know, Islamists will play a role here, but there's nothing to worry about. And the chairman of the Transitional Council has called for a Libyan state founded on Sharia, but one that is also, quote, inclusive of women and minorities. And then it just moved on. Well, what does that mean? I mean, nobody knows what that means to say that the Sharia will be inclusive of women and minorities. Even the most brutal regimes that claim to follow Sharia are inclusive of women and minorities, even if that means that, well, you know, if a woman is involved in adultery, she receives punishment that leads to her death. That's still inclusive of women. We need much, much, much more in terms of specifics to know what type of situation this is going to be. Libya is a pretty conservative culture. Women already frequently cover themselves either partially or fully. And there are other, you know, issues that indicate that Libya is a pretty conservative Muslim culture as it is. But there are also indications that they do aspire to democracy and whatnot. So we just need less of this breezy, cheerful reporting about how there's nothing to see, nothing to worry about, and more specifics, more hard data.
And then finally, you say the Los Angeles Times, their coverage was just weird. What do you mean?
Well, they reported on the interim leader, the leader of the transitional government, talking about his vision for the future in terms of what the law would be. But they didn't really mention anything about the specifics about polygamy or, you know, which is a big change for Libya to go back in terms of not practicing polygamy to allowing it, and not mentioning the change in banking laws, which, of course, will greatly affect Libya's participation in the world theater. And they just didn't mention these things. They just had a very brief story saying, well, the new interim leader says there will be changes. Moving on. It's just, again, we need many more specifics.
Well, with only about 30 seconds here, do you get the sense that the media, at least in the United States, understands what a dominant role of Sharia will really truly mean? I mean, it's not like we don't have examples in the rest of the world that have existed for decades.
Honestly, I don't think. I think that one of the problems is that most of the people who are covering Libya might be military reporters or political reporters without a good understanding of the role religion can play. And then combine that with the general lack of interest in world affairs that plagues not just American media, but readers. And in fact, if readers and viewers wanted more information on what's happening globally, I think they would be able to get it. But no, I don't think people understand how, you know, there are a lot of countries that say that they practice Sharia. And there's a lot of dispute about what that means. I don't think reporters actually come close to understanding what it can mean and how extreme it can be in one direction or another. So, no, I don't think they get it at all.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, as usual, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly interviews on media coverage of religion with our friends at GetReligion.org, please consider joining our monthly or annual donor program. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, our goal is to have 200 Reformation members by All Saints Sunday. That's November the 6th. That's not very long from now. A special thanks to Jerry in Lafayette, Indiana, to Walter in New Bern, North Carolina, for joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, and to Steve in Richfield, Minnesota, for renewing his membership in the Reformation Club. When you join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, you'll receive premiums like t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Find out the different levels and the benefits at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.